Amen. Are you happy? Happy Easter. I thought that's your answer. Happy Easter? I think that this subject is very, very nice for me because today we are talking about the resurrection of Jesus. I was praying here when everybody was singing, and I asked the first thing to my Lord. I said, "Lord, can I speak English today like Steve?" This is my prayer today. I was saying that, "Oh Lord, give me now your miracle maker." And the first miracle I ask you, I'd like to speak English like Steve today. But I don't know if it will be possible. I'll try to speak like Steve. If you don't understand, ask Steve himself, he will explain you. Today, the subject is, why are you crying? Who have never cried in his life in this place? I think that everyone. To cry is normal in the life. But the basic of our message is not to cry. The basic is resurrection. We are talking about Jesus' resurrection today. It's very important, and we will try to see so many things around this resurrection, because we see Peter, we see one disciple who the Bible didn't tell us his name, but it's like in the movie, people I was playing, we see Peter, we see this woman, Mary of Magdalene, and the other one, they said that they don't mention his name. And when I was reading the Bible, I said that, at this place, we can put the name of everyone in the church. So that one, they didn't mention the name. It can be you, it can be me, it can be Steve, it can be someone else. But we'll see it later. Would the Lord like to learn about resurrection? Resurrection is making difference between what you call in the world religion. Because in other religion, they have prophets, and their prophets, they end by death. When they die, everything stops there. They don't expect something again in their life. But we, as a Christian, we have to believe that after our death, we'll come back again alive. I think that you say amen. Amen. This is the difference. Just look around the world. Everybody will, they are waiting for paradise. They will say that we'll be in paradise. And if you ask them, how are you going to be in paradise? They will tell you that we have to do good in this world. So you have to do good things. You have to go to be good with people. If someone asks you something, you can give him. But to give him only when you are fasting, and at the end of fasting, you call everybody to eat with them and say that this is good you are doing. But other days, you are a wicked person. Only when you have this program of fasting, and after the fasting, you say that I have to give something to people. They can come and eat with me. This is the doing good. But we as a Christian, there is a difference. To do good have to be our life. To do good have to be what we are doing every day in our life as a Christian. They don't say that you have to do it only when you are fasting, or no. You have to do it all the time. Resurrection, if Jesus didn't give this message of resurrection, so the world should be the same, and the devil should be the one who is the owner of this world. And you can say that the devil can just continue to dominate in this world. But for you and I, the devil cannot dominate upon us, because we die and we rose up with Jesus. This is what every Christian has to know. You are not like people are in the world. People who don't believe in resurrection. And this resurrection, it was the topic. So many people at the time of Jesus, nobody also accepted it. They don't believe in it. How can someone die and one day he have to rise up? But Jesus gave them the example. When he was still in this world, when Lazarus dead, the Bible shows us that after 4 days, he came. Jesus did it by purpose. When they told him that Lazarus is sick, but he stayed there with his disciples because he knew that one day I will go there. When he will pass away, I will go there and I will raise him up. And the Bible says that when Jesus arrived, Mary and Martha, they came to Jesus. They feel bad in their heart. They was crying. They said that, oh, if you are here, our brother could not pass away. And Jesus started now to teach them, said that I'm the life and I'm resurrection. I said, yeah, we believe that when you'll come back, people will rise up. He said, no, I'm talking about now. Now, today you have to believe that Jesus is the resurrection and is life. It's not for tomorrow. Martha should know that it's not for tomorrow, it's for now. You should know that it's not for tomorrow, it's for now. Resurrection is for now, not for tomorrow. You have to accept it today. You have to believe when you are still in this world. You have to believe. This is our hope. This is our assurance. We believe when we are in this world. Someone asked me, he said, how do you know that you will rise up? How do you believe that you'll be in heaven? I said that I believe because Jesus is in me. Today we talked about Anna, who is going. She's going to be baptized today. Baptism. What is the meaning of baptism? It's not what I prepared, but I just it just come. I said that God, I opened my mouth, just put your word inside me. Baptism is means to die and to rise with Jesus. You die. If you have been baptized in Jesus, you die with him and you rose up with him. You can see it in the book of Colossians, chapter 2. And we'll read one verse there because let us see in the book of Colossians. I just feel that I have to read that one. It's very important for you and I to know these things. Colossians. I'm sorry, I have to be there, then I can give. You can read from verse 9. And we stop at verse 12. 9. Colossians 2. I said 2. We start from 9. Tasha, I didn't give him her this verse, but we can read it. Said that for in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head of every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised with circumcision not performed by human hand. You yourself ruled by the flesh was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism. Can you hear what they said in verse 12? Yeah, thank you, Tasha, for this part. From 12, it said that, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in working of God, who raised him from the dead. This is the Bible. And you have to believe that you have life now in Jesus. Everyone dead at this time. If you don't know God yet, if you have not passed by baptism yet, you are dead. You are not in this life yet. But what do I want to say? I said that as a Christian, when we accept to pass by baptism, we accept to be buried with Christ. And we rose up with him. This is very important for us. And I think that will continue in this text. I'd like Tasha to prepare for us now the text of the day in book of Luke. We have to read it now. And we'll. I said that I ask one thing, to speak like a Steve. And the second thing I ask God, give me capacity to stop early today. This is what I ask from God. Because I have so many things to say, but I said, God, help me. I want to stop my message very early. So, we read now in book of... they said that early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon, Peter, and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separated from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciple went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said, do not hold unto me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord, and she told them that he had said these things to her. I thank God because it was a very long text for me, and I can say oof because I finished it. I know that there are so many people who can read very quick than me, but I'm trying my best today. Yeah. The most important in this thing is not people you saw there. Woman, Peter, the disciple who Jesus loved me too much, or angels. No. The most important is about the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus gave the message to them that destroy this temple, and I will rebuild it in 3 days. But at that time, nobody understood what Jesus was talking to them. But the time came to pass where they have to understand things, but they didn't understand nothing. Because they show us that the first person who went to the grave, it was this Mary of Magdalene. I don't know why, but I know that women, they are always so emotive, if I can say something like, more emotive than, is it? Emotion. Emotional. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Joe. So, emotional than men's. The Bible shows us that early in the morning, maybe she can get some kind of duty to do a day, but she decided, no, I have to go to the grave. Because her life, she spent the part of her life near to Jesus. She was this woman who have got a very bad life in the past. And you know what happened to her. When she came to Jesus, the Bible says that she came as a sinner. But Jesus make her a right woman. And Jesus forgive all sins she have done in the past. And this is what Jesus has done for us. And we have to commit now our life to our Lord Jesus. The Bible shows us how she have got this. I can say that she have put the presence of Jesus in her mind and in her own life. When people are sleeping, but her she was thinking about Jesus. And she said that I will wake up early in the morning, have to go to see what happened there. In myself, I would think that maybe Mary Magdalene was thinking that to this message Jesus gave to everybody that after 2 days, 3 days, I will rose up. And she believed. She believed that one day it will happen what Jesus said. That's why early in the morning when other people were sleeping, Mary ran and went there to see what happened. Amen. Thank you. And I say that there are so many women today who believe in God more than men. Men, I know that I will talk about you, but let me talk about women. At this time in Israel, they don't believe in a message which is given by woman. It's not me who is saying it. It's written in a book, in the Bible. And if you see the culture of Israel people, or you see in Arabic people, sometimes like that. They don't believe in what woman can say. Today, with maybe the word evolution, if we can say something like that, we can believe in everything. But at that time, if you read in the book of John 4, when the woman met Jesus, spoke with Jesus, and she went to tell everybody that, come and see, the one who told me what I've done in my life is not the Messiah. Maybe it's the Messiah who came in this. And they said that people went now to see Jesus. And when they come back, they said that we didn't believe because you told us, but we believe because we saw him. They didn't believe in that message. But we have to know that God is able to choose things, what we think that is very weak, that to put confusion to that it's very strong in this world. And the woman at this time, they consider her like someone who was weak. But the Bible said that is her who was the first of who went to the grave. And it is her who was the first to know that the stone was removed. We'll talk about the stone after. We'll talk about the grave. And we'll talk about the attitude of everyone. And this but the center of the message is the resurrection. The first thing about the resurrection, we have to know ourselves that Jesus himself talked about resurrection because he was the Son of God. I think that Tasha will put for us the first thing we have to know about the resurrection on the screen if it's possible. I gave some word there that you can put maybe it's everything you'll find it in book of you'll find it in book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But here this is our teaching for resurrection, something we can know. But when we start to talk about the stone, about the grave, we'll learn something else. But here, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is important because it validates who Jesus claimed to be, namely, the Son of God and the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. He's him who came in this world to save people. He's him who came to take us from the darkness. When we were singing here, we said that he took us, he's the light in the darkness. He came to save us, to rescue us, if I can say something like that. And this is the first thing. And the second thing, they said that the reason of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is important, is that it proves his sinless character and divine nature. The scripture said God's Holy One would never see corruption. This is written in the book of Psalm. Jesus was not like every man. We can say that he was man 100%, but Jesus was different with man because he was sinless. He didn't make sin in his life. And through him, he had this capacity to make us, to take our sins. He had this capacity to set us free from the sin. Because our nature, as a human being, we can sin. But Jesus was sinless. We have to know it. And the third thing, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Like we said about Martha and Mary. And in that statement, claimed to be the source of both. Jesus is the source of life, is the source of resurrection. If you believe in him today, he will bring you to life. You will come from the death to the life. We'll see it in the book of Colossians. As I said, that we'll continue with that. We'll read it later. Let it disappear. And fourth thing, I'm going very quickly. Jesus is the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. In the book of Corinthians as well. The word of God guarantees the believers resurrection at the coming of Jesus Christ for his church at the rapture, l'enlèvement. The word of God guarantees the believers resurrection at the coming of Jesus Christ for his church at the rapture. Such assurance resulted in a great song of triumph of Paul, right? In 1 Corinthians 15:55, where a death is your victory, where all death is your sting, and Hosea 13:14. This is what we can keep in our mind for about the resurrection. But I just want to go now quickly to explain something about the attitude of these three persons who went now to the grave. Because this, everyone can read it in the Bible. You can find it in the Bible. If you read in the book of 1 Corinthians 15, you will see what is written about resurrection. If the dead will not rose up or resurrected, so our faith will be useless. This is what the Bible said. It will be useless. And Paul is saying that even our gospel will not have power if there is not a resurrection. Why we have now to say that no, we cannot do everything people are doing if we don't get anything from God? We have to expect that one day, you and I, if you die today, one day you will rise up again. You have to believe in it. But the Bible is talking about the first person who went to the grave. It was Mary. And this question comes now out. What, woman, why are you crying? Today so many people are crying. They are crying because they have maybe some kind of difficulties and they are going through some situation and no one can give you solution. And when she went there, I think that she was thinking about what she had got in the past as a life. She was so rejected by society. Today, you are maybe so rejected by your family. You are rejected by society because of something you have done. And they don't trust you anymore. And this is what happened in the life of so many people. When you stay yourself in your room, you lack something, because this woman, she lacked the presence of Jesus. Jesus was the most important person in the life of this woman. There is something which is very important for you today. And I want to tell you, the grave is empty. Amen. This is what I want to tell you. The tomb is empty. Even the cross is empty. She was crying there. She went there, the first person who went in the morning. She was crying. And nobody can give us her the answer. The Bible said that two angels stood there at the head, where they have put the head of Jesus, and another one at the foot. But they asked the same question. Men can ask you the question. Angel can ask you the question, but no one can give you peace. No one can give you peace. If you get peace from the world, coming from the man, this world can be inspired by Holy Spirit. And it's God who can speak through someone, and then you can get peace. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking. We don't say that you cannot comfort people who have some problem. We can tell them some good words. We can try to give them strength, but our word have to be inspired by Holy Spirit. The attitude of the man who Jesus loved too much. Jesus loved everyone, but the Bible mentioned here that he loved this man too much. And sometimes the disciple will think that him will not die anymore. God love you. God love me. But the depth is the way everyone will pass by there. But after death, there is life. We have to believe in it. In the life, you can be strong. In the life, you can have everything in this world. But the most important things in our life is Jesus. To be in Jesus Christ. Because it's only through Him we can get wisdom. Only through Him we can get, we can be justified. Justice. Only through Him. Through Jesus, we can get everything we need. But this man, he ran. This is the attitude that I want to talk. There are so many people, they are running on their life, but they don't reach what they need. This man, he ran. He arrived to the grave, but he cannot go in. The problem is, who can be able to go in? Is it you who run first, or the one who is coming back of you? But we want to read something now in the book of Ecclesiastes to understand what the Bible says. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. The rest is not for those one who are swift. People are running. People are running all the time. You are running in the life, but sometimes you don't reach what you need. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11. I have seen something else under the sun. The rest is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong. Or you and I, you know that the victory is for people who are strong. But look at what the Bible is saying here. Nor that food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned. But time and chance happen to them all. Time and chance happen to them all. This is the wise man of the world said this kind of thing. He said that, I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong. This man he ran. Even God knows him. He loved him. He was running. He went to the grave, but he couldn't enter because the rest, they said that is not to the swift or the battle to the strong. He was very young and very strong, but the battle was not for him. So people are struggling in their life. If God didn't decide yet, you can struggle for nothing. We can run for nothing. Read it again in the book of 1 Samuel. We will not write it on the board. I have to keep that one first. And in the book of 1 Samuel 18, they are talking about one man who was running because he was looking to go to give the news to the king when Absalom passed away. And Joab told him that, no, don't go. Don't do that. Don't go there. I will send someone else. But this man, they said that he took another way, a short way, and you arrive to the king before. He said that this news is not good for you to go to give it to the king. But the man said that, no, I have to go. He was running. He was a very fast man. Like they said that he ran outran the one who was sent. He went there. When he arrived, they asked him, what happened? Do you have a good news? He said that, oh, yeah, something happened there. He said that the king asked him, what happened? He said that, yeah. I said, is Absalom alive? Oh, no, I don't know if he's still alive or not. He don't have anything to say. but he was the first one who was running. He took another way. You can take the short way today to arrive somewhere. But God gives the long way, maybe everybody have to follow. But you take the short way and you not arrive to the good solution in your life. So many people are taking short way in their life. Short way in the marriage, short way in everything. Oh no, I need a child. You need child, but before to get child, you have to get married. Amen? It's very strong what I'm saying. Someone who said that, no, I need a child, but I don't like marriage. How it can be possible? The short way, people like short way in their life. If you ask money, I'm telling you, to work is not easy. Like me, I'm going to work for 12 hours. And I ask everybody there, some people are working with me, if they say that, do you need to get money and to stay at home? Or you like to come here to work and to get money after work? Everyone will choose to get money to stay at home. It's not true. Yes, this is the reality. Short way. There are some people who want to become rich very quickly. But little by little, slowly, slowly, you will arrive to the place God has prepared for you. At this time, I was asking that the attitude of this man, he doesn't have the key. The one who held the key, it was Peter. Peter has got the key of the church. It's him who has to enter first. This is spiritual things I'm saying. That don't be in hurry in your life, in everything you are doing. Don't be in hurry. Why are you in hurry for everything? They say that, nor that food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned. No, it's not because of the degree you have. No. The knowledge, God can give you everything. It's not because of your degree. You can get it. There are so many people who have they have done high school, everything, but in their life, they have never seen a good work. Do you think that the one who is a prime minister today is the one who is more intelligent to everybody who is in the world? No. The thing they are telling is that, but time and chance happen to them all. That's what the Bible says. And Peter, when he ran, the attitude of Peter, he didn't stop out. The Bible said that Peter went inside. The time is come now. You have to go deep in your life, in the scripture, to understand what happened in the life of Jesus. Peter went in. When he went in, there are so many Christians today, they are out of the church. They stop out of the church. They don't understand what happened inside. But we have to call them, because the Bible said that after that, this disciple came inside. We don't have to leave everybody outside. So I'm saying that God has to explain us now the scripture. He came inside to see by himself, to experience the death and the resurrection of Jesus. The Bible said that even they went there, they didn't understand nothing. They didn't understand nothing. And they went back. What happened? They don't understand. What happened, Peter? What happened? He doesn't understand. He went back, and the disciple went back. They didn't understand nothing. But they got to see the, what we say that is, the linen, the crypt, gloves and linen. It was there. I want to say now something. We saw that all of them, they entered inside. After that, they went out. But they didn't say anything. The woman stood there and continued to cry. This is the attitude of everyone now who is crying. But the Bible says that the angel gave the message, asked the question, but they couldn't give the answer. And when Jesus appeared to this woman, he gave the message to the woman, go and tell my brother and We can put it on the screen, please. I want to read exactly what is writing there. What Jesus says in the book of John, what he was reading. John, our text basically. Book of John. Patience. It's coming. Was reading in the book of John. It was book of John. It was 10 or 20. Verse 17, please. I can read in my laptop. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me." She came, she was looking to touch Jesus at this time. And Jesus said that she was not glorified. He said that, "Do not hold to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brother and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." This is the mission God is giving to everyone here today. When you go home, you have to say that Jesus is risen. Jesus is not in the grave. Hallelujah. Jesus is not in the grave. We have to know it. But so many lives of so many people are still in the grave. Jesus wants us now to give this message. We have to come out of the grave like Peter and this man. They didn't stay in the grave. They came out. And they went to stay somewhere. And this is the message I have to give to tell everybody in the world. That Jesus is not in the grave. Jesus is not in the tomb. But the life of so many people, unfortunately. I was asking if I can give Tasha all these verses at the beginning of my preaching. But I just trust her because she's very. She used the computer very quickly. So, she's very fast. We can read again. we can read again. Amen. We can read again in the book of Isaiah 42 verse 22. You'll see where is your life. We have to read it. Isaiah 42, verse 22. And we'll finish. No. 42, verse 22. It's already there. But this is a people. Thank you, Sasha. You are very fast. But this is a people plundered and looted. All of them trapped in a pit or hidden away in a prison. They have become plunder with no one to rescue them. They have been made loot with no one to say, send them back. It's only Jesus who can lose now your tie today. Only Jesus can set you free from some prison. people went through is maybe from the family. They cannot understand it. You can see that something the parents have done in the past, it follow you until today. Maybe you say that, no, this is maybe African preaching. No, no, it's not African preaching. It's in the Bible. Someone who come from the family where parents are very, very anger people. Maybe you can see that in your life you still have this kind of condition, this kind of life. God is able to set you free. You can come from the prison where you have been. Today you can come become person who is free in Jesus. It's possible. Here they are talking, they said that, but this is the people plundered and looted. All of them trapped in pit or hiding away in prison. They have become plundered with no one to rescue them. They have been made looted with no one to say, send them back. It's only Jesus who can set us free. Because him is free today. And is seated at the end, right hand of the God, of our God in the heaven. Only Jesus can set you free. Only Jesus can set me free. If there are something you are still doing it, you are like someone who is still in the tomb. But today you have to come out of the tomb. If you come out of the tomb, even sickness, even something you are doing in the past, will not be with you again because Jesus set you free. Amen? But what is the message? What the end of our message? We'll end now with one verse. We'll read the book of 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. From 57, we have three verses there who left, but we can continue. But thanks be to God, he gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus. You have victory. Amen. I want to say that you have victory. Amen. This victory is not in the ring because you are not doing boxing. You are not in the ring. You have victory above all names of sickness in this world. Amen. You have victory above all small gods of this earth. You have to know it in your life. Everywhere you are, you have victory. This is the end of this message he was giving about the resurrection. He said that, but thanks be to God. Thanks be to God, he gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And 58. Therefore, my dear brother and sister, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. This is the message he's giving you. The work you are doing today. Don't think that the work you are doing is in vain. Because Jesus rose up and Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God in the heaven. And is the one who is praying for you all the time. When you are praying, we have to know that you have another one who is more than lawyer of this world, is Jesus. Through him, he justifies you. Through him, you have life. If there are something which is not okay in your life, you have to know that through Jesus you have everything. Through Jesus you have victory. Through Jesus you have hope. And through Jesus you have everything you need in your life. Amen? Amen. So, I think that we'll stop here. Because I promise you that this is my prayer. We have to finish early today. We can stand up now. Just stand up and you'll pray. Why are you crying? This is the question. And who are you looking for? Why are you crying? There is something who makes you cry all the time. The Bible says that if you read in the book of Isaiah 25, he said that on this mountain, he's going to wipe all our tears. You have tears sometimes when you are going to sleep in the night, when sometimes you are alone. Like this lady, she stayed alone. Mary of Magdalene, she stayed alone there. When disciples went, she stayed alone. When you are alone, you used to cry. Why are you crying? He wants to tell you that the grave is empty. Why are you crying? Your life is not in the grave. Even your health is not in the grave. Or sometimes you have some kind of sickness. You say that, no, this sickness I will die with. But I want to tell you that you will not die with this sickness. Because the grave is empty. Maybe you have fear of death. Like the first disciple who went there, maybe have got this fear. I cannot go inside. Maybe they can cover this pit. They can cover this place. And they will be in. He stood outside. You have fear in your life. Ask now God to give you strength. Ask now God to be with you all the time. For your help, ask now. Because Jesus gave his life for our sickness. Why are you crying? This is the question. You have some members of your family that are sick. Maybe you see that how they are going through some pain. You see pain in the body. You cannot sleep. You have pain in your body. Why are you crying? The one you are looking for is not in the grave. He's alive. Jesus is alive. Why are you crying? You are crying for your future? You are crying for your family? You are crying for your marriage? You are crying for your work? But you saw that the rest is not for the swift. And the wealth is not for the wise. Why are you crying? This is the time now. Jesus wants to wipe your tears. Just say now to the Lord. Lord, I want now your presence in my life. He seems like a gardener. No, he's not a gardener. He's the one who rose up from the dead. He's alive now. He wants now to bring everything you need. You are the one who can give now the message to others to say that I've seen the Lord.